Wendy, look who's here.
I've already
it's
been
noted
talking
pet
to
expert Steve Dale is here to tell you things about pets. Steve, I have to ask you a very fast
yes,
question.
Yes, sir.
There was a story that Wendy and I talked about a couple weeks ago. This is a little boy. I can't remember if he's 3 or 4 years old. His name is Casey Hathaway.
I think
lives
he was
in North
three,
Carolina.
Little.
3 years old, right. He wanders off. He's playing in the yard, in his grandmother's yard, and he wanders off, and he's missing for 2.5 days. They can't find him anywhere.
What?
They start to panic and think, we're never going to see Casey again.
They only start to panic after 2.5 days?
No, the panic started immediately, but as time went on, they got more and more scared. Then, miraculously, they found him, and he was fine despite the horrible weather, very, very cold weather, and rough terrain. He survived. And they said, how did you do this for 2.5 days? You're 3 years old. How'd you do this? And he said, I met up with a bear, and a bear took care of me. So we asked this question of John Duffy, our psychologist friend.
Yes.
Because people, when we told the story, they said, ask him if that's possible, if a little kid could have imagined this or not. And then once we talked to John about it, other people texted and said, ask Steve Dale if this is possible. So the question is, is it possible that a bear could find a three-year-old kid in the woods and protect that child for 3 days?
I enjoy John on your show. I hear him all the time. He's very, very good.
Thank
I don't
you.
Know what he
He's
said.
Great.
Yeah, he is. I don't know what he said about the specific issue, but I think imagination is more likely.
Yeah, me too.
A dog? Sure. Maybe a wolf. And there are stories like this. But a bear, anything's possible. I mean, animals do amazing things, but it is not so likely.
Right.
Inside Edition says bears are very nurturing animals, but they take care of their own. I'm not sure a bear would see a young child in distress as possibly something they have to take care of.
Wow.
Right. And if it's a grizzly bear, maybe lunch. Yeah.
Well,
we've been working together too long, maybe. Hey, your birthday.
Yesterday.
Yes. I've got a birthday present for you.
Oh, yay. Is it an animal? Is it a skink?
Here. No, skink.
It's a chew toy for you,
Kona.
Wendy.
Yeah. Oh, well, sort of.
What do
Here's
you mean?
Another one.
All right.
Well, they're for
Isn't
you,
that
too.
Nice?
Yeah.
Yes, but they're dog toys. Why, when I said they're for Kona, why would they be for me?
You could use them,
because
too.
I think.
They're for dogs
That's
and their owners.
Money.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you so much. Kong toys, the only indestructible thing that he still destructs.
And they're not really, really indestructible.
Right.
They're not. There is nothing that is truly indestructible with certain dogs.
Sad but true. Steve, what brings you to town?
Thank you, by the way.
You're welcome. Bertrand said over 55? No way.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm 56.
No way.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I can still kick.
Yep.
Ow, I broke my hip.
Careful.
I heard a crack. Lots is happening in the animal world.
Mm-hmm. The Westminster Dog Show just happened. This was big news. I kept getting 10 alerts on my phone about the winner.
Yeah, the winner, it might have been predicted because this is the 15th Wire Fox Terrier. So I was there for the first night of Westminster, and I was kind of rooting for the Beagle or the Long-Haired Dachshund. They're in the same group, so it had to be one of the two that would win that group. The Long-Haired Dachshund did win that group, but third overall. Among the 7 participants in Best in Show.
The Wire Fox Terriers win a lot. They are the New England Patriots of dogs.
Yeah,
they are always
much.
In the Super Bowl.
You're right.
Yeah.
Look
Bill
at
Belichick
them, Bill.
Coached this dog.
Oh, my computer just went out.
I think they're very...
They're homely.
No, I don't think so at all. But, you know.
Why do they have such a firm grasp on winning this big, illustrious
And in general, terriers
show?
Do. I don't know. So I get asked this question all the time. So here's something really interesting to me. The most popular breed in Chicago, the most popular breed in Chicago, but the most popular breed in America for about 22 or 23 years, Labrador Retriever. The Golden Retriever is always among the top 3 most popular breeds, always for like 35 years.
Yeah.
Yet neither has won at Westminster.
Hmm.
I don't know why.
No one knows why.
Nobody knows.
So I don't watch it, so you have to tell me. How are they judged? Are they judged just on talent, on poise, on looks, on aroma?
Talent competition. Swimsuits.
Swimsuit competition,
yes.
Really, yeah.
Yes. They are judged based on, every breed has a written standard.
Yeah.
And the judge judges that individual dog based on that breed standard. So when at first, very, very beginning, King, that is the dog that won, mm-hmm. the Wire Fox Terrier, had to compete against other Wire Fox Terriers. There were probably 35 or 40 there, maybe more.
So the first round is always against the same
your own,
breed.
Right. Yeah. And the judge is looking at the confirmation, what the written standard is, for the Wire Fox Terrier and says, you're the best. Then goes up against all the other members of that group. There are seven groups. Wire Fox Terrier competes in the Terrier group. Doesn't compare the Wire Fox Terrier with the Airedale Terrier or any other terrier.
Right.
Is only looking at the breed standard of that individual breed.
Could you get in as a wild card?
Me?
Yeah. Well, not you,
no,
particularly.
A different breed.
Another breed. You know how in other sports they have the wild card teams?
They kind of do
could
that.
Could a schnauzer get in as a wild card?
Totally lost on him.
Oh, that's fine.
They kind of, well.
You know how in the NHL, you're a hockey fan.
Yes.
You know how the Blackhawks are trying to get that second wild card seed?
Oh, they will.
All right. So is there a dog version of that in the Westminster
Dog
Show?
Well, there is a, what do you call it when you're in second place? Second place. But there's a
losing.
Runner up?
A miscongeniality. I
oh,
think,
there
right?
is.
Or something like that?
Yeah.
So it's the second place winner. So should the Wire Fox Terrier not be able
to fulfill his or her duties.
Yes, which are very complicated.
Yeah.
Then the second place winner, I suppose, would have that responsibility. And that was Bono.
Bono?
Mm-hmm. A Havanese.
Oh.
That actually was in second place.
I thought he was Irish.
And it's the first time that a Havanese, which is incidentally a dog from Cuba.
Yeah.
Originally.
From Havana.
Mm-hmm.
Unana.
Bing. And you guys have been working together way too long.
Yeah.
Came in second place. That's the first time that a Havanese, I believe, has done that. And the long-haired dachshund, for those following at home, was in third place.
Third place. Mm-hmm. So everyone was happy?
I was happy.
As long
and
as you're happy.
They're not ugly. It's just not my preference. You know, like everybody, you know, has different attraction levels.
Sure. Well, clearly, if your dog was in this event, your dog would have won Best in Show.
No, he's bad.
Does this translate into anything, like in terms of dog sales? Like, once a breed wins, do people go, well, that's the breed we should get then?
It used to.
Not
I don't
anymore?
Know that it does anymore. I just don't think it does so much anymore. First of all, not as many people watch Westminster. I'm just being honest, as they used
to. What's the one around Thanksgiving?
Now it's on Fox. They watch that show a
lot more.
That's
the one I
watch. Yeah, yeah. This is on Fox Sports Channel. I think a lot of people just don't even
really?
Have that. Westminster is, yeah. The one on NBC TV, which is the National Dog Show presented by Purina.
I love that
It's
one.
On NBC TV. It's on Thanksgiving Day. It's following the Macy Thanksgiving Day Parade. So it has an enormous, ginormous, huge audience.
Yeah.
So that is maybe a bit more impactful.
Noted pet expert Steve Dale is here. If you have any questions or comments, we're at 312-981-7200. We'll pick it up right after these messages. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. Noted pet expert Steve Dale has stopped by. We're talking about pets. Pets and Valentine's Day, they go together, Steve, I'm guessing.
Oh, yes. Huh? Yeah. So I have... You're going to be so excited. I have the perfect gift. Maybe.
For any pet on your pet list?
No, not for a pet, but for a person.
Yeah.
It supports the Bronx Zoo, and Wendy and I, and you too, we talk about all sorts of animals on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
You can name a, for Valentine's Day, this is going to be so romantic, in the animal's name, a giant Madagascar hissing cockroach for your lover.
Yes, but I think it's for someone that you don't like anymore, because don't they feed that cockroach to a meerkat then?
Sometimes. But it can be...
So all your exes, you could, you know, donate and name
it. Or if you do this to someone you want to have soon be your ex, this might do the trick. Why are you looking at me like
that,
Bill?
I'm confused. All right, so you're naming...
A cockroach.
A cockroach after somebody you broke up with.
Or maybe.
Who broke up with you.
Or someone maybe you want to break up with.
Oh, all right.
This might do the trick.
So it's
if you got a cockroach
in revenge,
someone,
right? It's
maybe,
kind of revenge-based.
Yeah,
all right.
And it raises money for the Bronx Zoo and the Wildlife Conservation Society, which
I'm all
about.
That's a funny idea.
Wow.
Yeah.
Some people are that vindictive where they do it.
I guess. Has this happened in the past, or is this a first-time thing?
I think they've done this before.
Yeah.
And it must have been successful. People all over the world are saying, I want a cockroach in that person's name.
They gave out a statistic earlier today on Steve Cochran's show of the amount of money that people spend on their pets for Valentine's Day. I don't remember the exact number, but it was a very, very high number. I'm sure you're not surprised at all, though, are you?
No, no. And in truth, whether you're Oprah, you're not Oprah.
I'm not Oprah.
I love Oprah. But
yeah, well.
Did you come here thinking I was Oprah?
That's why I showed
Steve,
up.
I'm sorry.
I pretend you're Oprah every day because
you guys,
I hang out with her.
That's crazy.
I was hoping because then I'd get a car or something.
No,
you know?
I'm not Oprah.
No, darn it. But whether you are Oprah or whether you are the guy that I saw, so I just came back from New York. I was at Westminster, right? And there was this, we were staying between Times Square and Madison Square Garden.
Mm-hmm.
And in Times Square, I saw this guy, every time I walked the same way toward the garden where Westminster is, I saw this guy with a dog, mm-hmm. the homeless guy. Mm. So whether you're that homeless guy or whether, and clearly that dog had a bond with that homeless guy. You didn't have to know them to see that. Or whether you're Oprah, all your pets care about is that you love them. They don't care how much money you have. So, yeah, you could spend money mm-hmm. on your pet for Valentine's Day. That's fine. I have no problem with that.
Just not chocolates.
No,
right?
Not chocolates.
Do not do chocolates.
That's a bad thing.
Because dogs have allergic reactions to them.
Poisonous.
Right?
Yeah, it's toxic.
In high doses.
Yeah, and actually, yeah, right. So it depends on the kind of chocolate it is. Darker chocolates are more of an issue. It has more of a substance, a chemical called theobromine in it. So that's more of a problem. Speaking of problems, I know you guys have talked about this on the air, actually. This guy, the president of the United States, mm-hmm. Donald Trump.
His name came up a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, it's been asked a lot about why he doesn't have a dog. He's the first president in 125 years, approximately,
mm-hmm.
That in the White House doesn't have a dog, and only the second president in the history of this country who is without a pet. And it all began at the very beginning, George Washington. In fact, George Washington is responsible for bringing the American foxhound to the United States.
Really?
Uh-huh. He bred dogs. He was a huge dog lover. So from George Washington on, most presidents have actually had not only a pet. They've all had a pet with the exception of one. But
Who was the one?
Because I know Clinton had Sox, right? The cat.
Yeah, and I think there was another...
But most of them have dogs.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm looking for the one...
who was dogless?
Yeah. President John Quincy Adams.
Oh, John Quincy Adams did not have a dog.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was the only one. Also, by the way, he kind of did, maybe. So whether it's an apocryphal story or not, no one's old enough to remember, apparently, and historians aren't sure. But they believe he had an alligator in the White House. Really?
John Quincy Adams?
Yeah. Do you consider an alligator a pet?
Yes.
Maybe Trump
would say,
Trump would consider that alligator a coworker.
Bag or shoes, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. So
but Donald Trump's reason for not having a dog, he just said this the other
night.
Right,
that's why I bring it up.
He has no time.
Yeah, and he wouldn't like the optics of the president walking a dog.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of said that as well.
Great photo op, though. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it is. That's the thing. But he said he doesn't need that boost because... Every president who's ever gotten a dog in modern times when, you know, polling is done,
right.
has indicated just get a dog and people will like you more.
Yeah.
And in fact, that turns out to be the case. Trump said he kind of doesn't need that to be the case. History will tell us whether that's true or not. But he calls people dogs in derogative ways.
Oh.
So I just did a blog post about this. I mean, it's amazing. So when this was a couple of years ago, he said about Chuck Todd from Meet the Press.
Yeah.
He said that Chuck Todd will be fired like a dog from ratings-starved Meet the Press. I can't imagine why it's taking so long. About Mitt Romney, he said, he had a chance to beat a failed president, but he choked like a dog. I mean, who uses that term? I mean, you call me a dog, I'm happy.
Well, that's like, hey,
I mean, really?
Dog, that's different. D-A-W-G.
Right. Yeah.
The Randy Jackson dog.
But right? I don't think that being called... So when, like her or not, when Omarosa was fired from the White House, he said, when you give a crazed, crying lowlife a break and give her a job at the White House, I guess it didn't work out. Good luck. Good work by General Kelly for quickly firing that dog.
Oh.
I mean, who says stuff like that?
Hmm. All right.
I take offense on behalf of dogs.
Would you
really?
Would you please write a children's book about John Quincy Adams and his alligator, please?
And actually, I think there might have been one.
Was there?
Right, yeah. Yes.
We don't have a lot of time, but tell us the honor that Jane Goodall received.
Oh, she, well, we're hoping she gets it, and that's the Nobel Peace Prize. So Jane Goodall, who's coming to town, and was, you know, it was announced on a Friday or something, and on...
Gorillas have
you
met
her?
Mist?
Do you know her?
I've met her.
Have you really?
She's the chimpanzee one. So
I'm sorry.
Cyan Fossey, who's
that's right.
Yeah, I mean, I've never met anyone. So you get asked this all the time. Who is, because you've talked to far more celebrities than I have.
Yeah.
But back in the day when I did celebrity interviews. But even now I get asked, you know, who's the person that you spoke to that has had the most impact or influence on you?
Yes.
My answer is Jane Goodall.
Really?
Yeah.
Good
she,
call.
She is, yes, she's a primatologist, but she has taught the world, if we listen anyway, a lot more than about chimpanzees.
Yeah.
And about the chimpanzees' relation to us and all that science stuff about great apes. That's really important. But she's also talking about the planet. And she was talking about climate change for a very, very long time and many other things as well. And she also talks about how interconnected we are. So if one species goes away, then another will, and another will, and another will. And at some point, all of that will impact all of us. She also talks about this thing called kindness.
Yes.
And being kind to one another. So I hope she gets the Nobel Peace Prize.
That would be nice. That is noted pet expert Steve Dale. You can listen to his show. You're right there, Steve.
Oh, thank
Steve
you.
Dale's Pet World. That's on Sundays right here on WGN. It starts at 6:30. The puck drops at 6:30, and you can listen until 7, and that's
score.
When it stops.
I listen almost every week. You do a
thank
great
you.
Job. And
thank
where's
you.
Your website where people can find more information?
SteveDale.tv. And this week, we're talking cat shows.
Thank you, Steve. We'll listen anyway.
Coming up, the
Stop!
Stories that matter with
Stop!
Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.